Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Life is a race toward a goal, but Satan, the destroyer, wants to impede our races in every way. He implants evil thoughts, makes them into obsessions, and then turns them into strongholds. Today, we'll learn about the forces conspiring to ruin both our pasts and our futures, and we'll point the way to true freedom. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Pastor Lutzer continues a series on putting your past behind you as he brings part one of The Dark Side of Evil.
Today we come to the sixth in a series of messages, Putting Your Past Behind You. And as I speak on the topic of Satan, I am well aware that there are many who perhaps are going to find it difficult to listen to this sermon. You will find that you are distracted. You may find it difficult to concentrate. There'll be a restlessness, compulsiveness. You say, how do you know that? It's because sometimes what happens when Satan is exposed is that he tries to create barriers that will not enable people to hear clearly the voice of God. And that's why, even though we have prayed a number of times already today, I'm going to ask that we pray one more time. And many of you may want to pray while I preach. If you can do that and concentrate on what I'm saying and praying at the same time, I think that's possible. But join me as we pray. Our Father, we know that our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. And today, Father, we pray that as he is exposed, that your blessed Holy Spirit will enable each of us to be totally free from his influence, to know what it is to resist him, to understand how he works, to not believe his lies, and to be free people. Do that for us. We pray that there may be no distractions during this service, and the hearts of those who have felt the imprint of the devil and have known his power today may walk out of here free. We pray that because we believe in the strong and powerful name of Jesus who has crushed our enemy. In his name we pray. Amen. I want you to suppose for just a moment that you were involved in a battle and didn't know it. Think of the advantage that that would give to the enemy. You being in a war and not knowing it, you'd be overrun. I want you to imagine for a few moments that you're in a battle and you know that you're in a battle, but you've decided that you are going to ignore the enemy. You simply plead neutrality. You're going to be like the country of Switzerland, neutral. My dear friend, to be neutral in the Christian life is to surrender to the enemy, because it's not your choice as to whether you're in a battle or not. That decision isn't made by you. It is made by a cruel, malicious foe, a personal devil who stalks God's people trying to create as much havoc and to instigate as much sin as he possibly can. If you say to me, Pastor Lutzer, why is the universe and why is the world set up that way? Well, I'm not going to answer that question except to say that if I live long enough to make it into next year, sometime next year I hope to preach a series of messages on that topic. So you'll have to come back. But until then, let me tell you that even though Satan is not omnipotent and omnipresent, it appears as if he's everywhere at the same place, because he has tens of thousands of demonic spirits that are organized according to certain hierarchies who are accountable and who must give an account to their work, to their superiors. He is well organized, just like an army, and he is taking us on. He hates God, and he takes out his hatred of God against us. And that's why it is that he is indeed a cruel, angry foe. Now, I want you to realize that behind all of the personal decisions that we make and behind some of the things that we see taking place in the world, behind these so-called physical events, there is this spiritual power called the devil. even in what we might consider to be some of the more ordinary experiences of life, if you please. Not extraordinary. We all know that there's something like demon possession, where we see the rage of Satan on people's faces as they become controlled by the devil. We've all seen that, and certainly we've read about it in the New Testament. But I'm speaking about the ordinary events in which you may never suspect that Satan is at work. Examples. Here's a couple that sits down for breakfast, and they're deciding how much they should give to the church because the church needs a special offering. And so they're discussing it. Some people in the congregation have sold various articles and have even sold some property, and they have brought all of the proceeds and they've given it to the church. This couple says to themselves, you know, we want to appear as spiritual as we possibly can. We want to look good. Let's sell some property and do the same, but we'll withhold some of the price. Let's suppose we sell it for $1,000. We'll give $500 to the church, and we will pretend that we're giving it all. It's not even really a direct lie. It's a white lie, because they did sell it for $500. What they're withholding is the fact that they sold it for $500 more. They have every right to keep all the money if they want. That's not the problem. The problem is that they are giving the impression that they are really more spiritual than they are. They're giving the impression that they're selling the whole thing and giving all the money to the church. Is that so bad? The book of Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, did that, Peter came to them and said, "Why has Satan filled your heart?" They would have been astounded. What do you mean Satan filled our hearts? We were sitting at the breakfast table just discussing what we were going to do. We didn't know that the devil was there. "Why hath Satan filled thine heart," said Peter to them, "to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Wow. You ever been in a situation where you are afraid to let people know you're a Christian? You may be sitting in a barber's chair and the topic is religion and you find that you can't say anything, even though you're a Christian and God has given you a door that is wide open and you're just tongue-tied. You're in a situation at work in your business and you have worked there for years and people don't know that you belong to Jesus Christ. Do you think that the fear of being identified with Christ could have anything to do with Satan, or is that just your natural personality? Just by nature, you're laid back, right? What about the 22nd chapter of Luke? Here is Peter denying that he knows Jesus Christ and disassociating himself from the Savior, putting some daylight between him and Christ. And what does the Bible say? Jesus said in verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has received permission to sift you as wheat." The devil is involved. Sexual temptation. It's just our desires, right? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 7? Paul says that husbands and wives ought to live together sexually and meet one another's needs. Why? Lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The devil is involved. What about the New Age movement with its false doctrines? Are these just harebrained ideas that we are God and all the other things that are being believed? It says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, that in the latter day people shall depart from the faith, and it says they shall give heed to the doctrines of demons. Not doctrines about demons, but doctrines that are actually furthered, perpetuated by demons. Wicked spirits behind false doctrine. Now, you know, there are other instances. What about spiritual blindness in the lives of people who do not know Christ as Savior? 2 Corinthians 4, 4, "The God of this world blinds the eyes of those who believe not, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them, and lest they should believe." Jesus said in the 4th chapter of Mark that Satan comes and snatches the word of God out of people's minds. That's why some people find it harder to remember what the sermon was about than they might remember the news on television or some sports score. Satan snatches it out of their minds. They're disoriented. They cannot understand. They are fidgety. They cannot concentrate on spiritual things. Now, this is the sixth message in putting your past behind you. And I want to say to you with authority today that there are some of you who will never be able to put your past behind you until you confront Satan, because he has a stake in your past. And he wants to use it to ruin your future. What I'd like to do today is to give you, first of all, Satan's strategy. Then we're going to talk about the lies that he uses to hold people bound. And finally, the way out. Is that fair enough? I think that's fair. Let's begin. Strategy. Let me give you a scenario that has been replayed hundreds of thousands of times. You see, Satan begins by putting ideas into our minds that he wants us to think are our own. Very, very important. Because, you see, that way he can remain hidden. You see, the reason for that is because sin is very attractive to us, but Satan isn't. If he came to us and says, "I am the devil, please exalt yourself," we'd say, "Whoa, I'd better go to church on Sunday. I'd better begin reading the Bible," and we would flee. But Satan can come to you and say, "Make yourself number one." And you think that is your idea. You see, he can then remain hidden. He uses all of the sins of the flesh. You know, the Bible says the works of the flesh are, and then it lists them. Maybe it's drunkenness, maybe it's anger, hostility, witchcraft. All of these things, it says, are the work of the flesh. We would have alcoholics, whether the devil existed or not. We would have immoral people, whether the devil existed or not. But he takes all of these sins and he inflames them and he entrenches them and he works through weaknesses that we already have. And in that way, he does not easily become detected. What he does is he lines up his strategy to fit perfectly with our weaknesses so that we can't tell the difference between him and ourselves and all of our ideas and sins that we think we are committing because we want to and this is our way out are actually inflamed, exaggerated, and dropped into our minds by evil spirits.
Well, my friend, we certainly need discernment, don't we? We're living in an age in which Satan is actively trying to draw believers away. He is blinding the minds and hearts of people who have not yet believed. But in the midst of this, we have to see the power, the grace, and the mercy of God. I want to thank the many of you who help us get Running to Win into so many different countries and in various languages. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone from the Middle East, from Algeria, who says, "It has helped me draw closer to my Lord." And by the way, in context, this person talks about the pressure that they are under to leave Christianity. And then she ends her letter by saying, "We benefit from the episodes and we are asking for your prayers. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner, someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts?" Very quickly, here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. When you're there, click on the Endurance Partner button or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer is continuing a life-changing series on putting your past behind you. Our current message is The Dark Side of Evil, probing the strategy of Satan to destroy us. This series can be yours as a CD album when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. Ask about putting your past behind you. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.